Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that it is good for us to be here together. And we thank you so much for your kindness to us, your continued love for us. And we pray now that you will help us this morning to learn more of that love for us, learn more of your great power to save. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like you to think first this morning about things in the world that look bad and strong. Okay, just think to yourself, things in the world that look bad and strong. Because there are actually quite a lot of things out there, aren't there? Powerful enemies who invade other countries. There's quite a bit of that been going on recently, hasn't it? And it's a little bit scary when you think about it. A little bit closer to home, bullies at school. It's not very nice, is it? Or for grown-ups, bullies at work. And sometimes you get leaders, powerful people at work who don't know God, don't care about God, and are against your Christian faith. Or what about closer still, coming right in to our hearts, our sin? Perhaps you are conscious today, as we did that confession before, conscious today of things that you have thought, said, and done, which you know God is not pleased with, which have hurt others and hurt your relationship with God. Maybe it feels bad and strong today, and you know that behind that, if you're a Christian, you know there is an evil one tempting you as well to these things. So there are things in our world that look bad and strong, and maybe you feel that today, and if you do, don't despair. We're going to see how God deals with what is bad and strong, and we're going to see the secret to how these things are defeated. Well, we're going to have a reading from the Bible, and Shirley is going to come and bring it to us. Thank you so much, Shirley.
The reading is from 1 Samuel Chapter 17, reading verses 1 to 11, all about David and Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Shirley. Well, this is an amazing Bible story that we're going to look at this morning. So we need to set the scene. Okay, so on one hill are these guys, the Philistine army. So have a look at them. Have a look at them. And on the other hill, it's you lot, God's people. And here is your king. Come on, the king of Israel is going to come. Saul. Here he comes. Here he comes. He's got a nice chair there. And there's a valley in the middle, okay? So just picture the scene. Philistines on one side, you lot on the other side, and a valley in the middle. Now, there was a giant Philistine soldier, a champion called Goliath, a monster. And I don't know if you watch the Gladiators on Saturday night. Anyone watch the Gladiators on Saturday night? Particularly some of your younger people. He sounds to me like a combination of the worst of those gladiators, the boasting of legend, the strength of giant, and the anger of viper. I don't know about you, would you like to meet him? But here he is. Look how massive he is. Just look at him. Just look at him. And did you notice he is taller than Saul? Remember Saul, the tall king from Tall Town? He's nothing compared to Goliath. That is bad news for people who trust in their might. And look at his helmet. It's
supposed to be scary.
And look at that massive spear. How heavy that is. And you can't see it, but I just wanted you to picture in your mind's eye that he is covered from head to toe in scale armor, that stuff that looks like this. In fact, when you look at him, he almost looks like a great snake that no sword or spear could harm. And he stood there and he shouted out to you lot, to the ranks of Israel.
Why have you taken positions for battle? I am a Philistine and you are Saul's servants. Choose a man and send him to fight me. If he can fight and kill me, we will become your servants. But if I defeat him and kill him, you will become our servants. Today I stand and dare the army of Israel. Send one of your men to fight me.
He's supposed to be scary. You see, because at this point, everybody trembles. Come on. Everybody is trembling. What a situation, okay? This is a terrible situation. God's people are in a real fix. They have an enemy who looks like a great serpent who is too powerful for them. No one is mighty enough to beat him. So just think for a moment how you're feeling. It's pretty bad, isn't it? It's pretty bad. Okay. Goliath, you can just go away for a moment. See, he does this for 40 days. Just imagine, for 40 days, he keeps coming and doing this. But let's follow our story too. If you've got a Bible there, it's verse 12. Now, David was the son of Jesse from Bethlehem. Come on, David. Here comes David. Now, Jesse actually had 8 sons, and the 3 eldest had followed Saul to war. So just like some volunteers, 3 volunteers to come and follow Saul to war. Come on, let's say, yep, come on. Couple more volunteers. Come on, tall person. You're like Eliab, Miles. And another one want to come and follow Saul to war. We need a third. Come on then. Come on, Jack. Okay, go and head over to Saul, and if you're lucky, he might give you a sword. He might give you a sword if you're lucky. There's only 2, I'm afraid. You're just going to have to fight over them. Okay, so David was the youngest, and he was a shepherd. You can see his crook. And when he was at home, he looked after the sheep. But he was also traveling to and from the battle and seeing his big brothers. And one day, Jesse sent him with some food to take to his big brothers. There he is. And as he was delivering the food, out came Goliath to do his usual thing. He's lost his helmet.
Today I stand and dare the army of Israel. Send one of your men to fight me.
Wow, when he said this, everybody cowered back in fear. Okay, look, you've got to look scared. Everybody looks scared. You see, the Israelites have been saying, look at this man, look at this man. If anybody could defeat him, the king will give him money, loads of money. The king will give his daughter to marry them. No taxes for that family. If anybody could just help. Now, David saw all of this and he spoke out.
You come to me using a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Yeah. What? Oh. What will be done to reward the man who kills this Philistine? What will be done for whoever takes away this shame from Israel? Goliath is a Philistine. Why does he think he can speak against the armies of the living God?
Well done, David. But the brothers weren't very happy with this, so you've got to look angry. They're not very happy with their little brother, and they say things like, why did you come here? Who's taking care of those few sheep that you have in the desert? We know you're proud. Your attitude is very bad. You just came down to watch the battle. Wow. Have a think about this situation, okay? Everybody is scared. You're scared. They're scared. Everybody is scared except David. David doesn't seem scared. I wonder, as he read that, I know we had a laugh. As he read those words, how do you think David was feeling? How do you think David was feeling? Because he wasn't scared. What kind of feelings do you think was going through his mind? Have a look at his face. What does he look like? He's smiling too much. Anybody know? What was David feeling, do you think, when he said those words?
Angry.
Angry. Yeah, he was. He was angry. He was bothered that Goliath is speaking against God and his people. David is bothered that God is dishonored. And he cares about God's people in trouble. I wonder, do you ever feel a little bit like David? Really bothered that our living God is dishonored? Or really concerned that his people are in a fix, that the church is in trouble? Well, what an example David is to us today. But remember, can anyone remember what happened to David last time in chapter 16? Anyone remember what interesting thing happened to him? You did it, I think, in your children's groups. We did it in here. So come on, what happened to David last week? Let's have a volunteer. Come on. Yes. He replaced Saul. Yes. So what? How did he replace Saul? What happened to him?
A king.
Yeah. So he was anointed by Samuel. And Samuel said he was going to become the king. And that from that moment on, he was filled with God's Holy Spirit all of his days so that he can be God's king, so that he can be God's champion. And that's the difference. That's why he is what he is. Everybody else is trusting in human might, but David is trusting in the Almighty. Well, let's take a break to think about that a bit more. And to think about how God is always faithful to his promises. He's the Almighty. Don't trust in your might, but trust in the Almighty. We need to have that Philistine army back on the screen behind us. And we want to continue that story. There it is. Whoa, okay. Now, David's question was reported to the king. So, come on, King Saul. there he goes. And the king sent when he's ready. And the king sent for David.
Don't be ridiculous. You can't. It's loud enough already. You don't be ridiculous. You can't fight this man. Look at him. You're just a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth.
Just do that.
Don't worry, I'll go and fight this Philistine. I'll go fight this Philistine. No, wait, what? Oh, don't worry.
Just read that one.
Don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go and fight him. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, if an animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this Philistine too, for he has stood against the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine.
All right. Go ahead. And may the Lord be with you.
Did you notice again how David is bothered when God is dishonoured? And did you notice again that he thinks like a shepherd? So he's a shepherd who looks after sheep. And he thinks, God has always provided for me. He knows that God's always looked after him and helped him to defeat the sheep's enemies. And he thinks, I'm just going to do the same thing for the people of Israel, because they're like sheep without a shepherd. So Saul gives him some armor.
I'm not wearing this, I'm not used to it.
There we go.
That's all I have.
Instead, he takes his shepherd's staff and he has a sling and he gets some smooth stones from the river, which fly through the air nice and fast. Now, a word about this sling, it would have looked like something a bit like that. And actually, they're really dangerous weapons. Did you know that they could sling things through the air about 150 miles an hour? So fast, they could actually pierce through armor. So maybe one of them actually pierced through Goliath's helmet. So David takes his sling and steps out into the plain. And here comes Goliath again. And Goliath speaks.
Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals.
You come to me using a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. You have spoken against him. Today the Lord will give you to me. I will kill you and cut off your head. Then the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. Everyone gathered here today will know the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He will give you to us.
Well, as the Philistine stepped forward to fight, David hasn't got any armor on, so he runs quickly and he takes out his sling and he slings it. Now, at this moment, okay, it's a movie, so it's going to be slow motion, okay? Slow motion, slow motion. So David triumphed with a sling and a stone. He didn't use a spear, he didn't use a sword. And then he ran up to him. Now, look, this is a U-rated movie, okay? So I'm just going to stand in the way of what happens now. But if you've been following the story along, you will know that a few weeks ago, Dagon, the Philistine god, fell over and his head fell off. And the same thing now happens to the Philistine champion. Has it happened yet?
Yes, I've done
it. He has done it. Okay. Brilliant. Brilliant. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was defeated, they turned and ran. And the people of Israel, you lot, suddenly are full of heart and you chase after them, pursuing them all the way. And there is a great victory that day. Hooray. Thank you all very much indeed. Thank you all very much indeed. Go and sit down, David, our champion. Wow, what an amazing rescue, don't you think? Isn't it amazing? Almost, it's like a miracle, isn't it? An impossible situation. Nobody mighty enough to defeat Goliath. Not Saul, not even Jonathan, his brave son. Goliath was the mightiest you could be as a human warrior. And remember, he even looks like a snake. And that reminds us, doesn't it? Do you ever think of the snake in the Garden of Eden? It reminds us that behind human evil, there's an even more powerful spiritual evil, the serpent himself, the devil. And I think we're being taught by this story, don't trust in your might, but trust in the Lord Almighty. Just as we sung before, Moses, remember Moses? Just like with him, one man before the power of the Egyptians, and yet God's might saves his people from slavery. Or Daniel, one old man in a den full of powerful hungry lions, and yet the Lord Almighty saves him from the power of the lions. Now, life is happy for many of us here, and thank God for the good times. Thank God for the good times. But out in the world, and some of you may be experiencing these things very real for yourself, there are these things, aren't there, that are bad and strong. These terrible wars, these bullies at school or at work, and the sin in our own hearts that weighs us down, and the knowledge that there is someone trying to tempt us. The truth is, we are just like the people of Israel. We're like sheep without a shepherd. We are helpless before an enemy that's too powerful. We need God's king. We need God's champion. We need God's shepherd. We need a super savior. And as Christians, we know that is Jesus, descended from David, David's greater son. And just like they mocked David, they also mocked Jesus. But he is the only one who can save us. And wonderfully, you can hold on a minute, we're not quite there. Wonderfully, he's already fought his great battle. He has already defeated the evil one and crushed the serpent's head when he died on a cross for us that first Easter. When he died, it looks so weak, doesn't it? It looks like he was losing, but actually he was doing what David did to Goliath at that moment. And we live in the time, just like David has killed Goliath and the enemies are about to run away. God's enemies today, even though they don't realize it, are actually very soon going to flee when Jesus returns and comes again. So will you trust in your might or in the Almighty? David shows us how to trust. Wasn't it amazing to hear a young man who clearly didn't have might speak with confidence in God's almighty power to save? It reminds me of that expression, God plus one equals a majority. Or it reminds me of Paul when he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? So, dear friends, what a way to finish our time in the book of 1 Samuel, to see the king after God's own heart, David the king, who points us to his great descendant, Jesus, our super savior. However you are feeling today, let me invite you to put your trust in him. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, our super savior. Lord, you know the troubles that many of us face. We thank you that Jesus has defeated evil on the cross and soon will remove it completely. Help us, therefore, not to fear all of these other things, but to trust in you, the Almighty. Amen.